This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Your grain futures Friday on the Chicago Board of Trade had a generally positive day. Corn for September was 0.75 cents lower to 4.10 1/4. December corn was 0.5 cents lower to 4.17 3/4. And March of next year corn was 0.25 cents lower to 4.28 1/4. August soybeans gained 8 3/4 to 8.73 3/4. September beans also were 8 3/4 cents higher on Friday to 8.79. And November beans were also 8 3/4 cents higher to 8.91 3/4. Chicago wheat for September gained a penny to 4.99 1/2. December wheat gained a penny and a half to 5.01 1/2. And March of next year wheat gained another penny to 5.09. Soybean meal for August gained $1.90 Friday to $2.96.70. September bean meal gained $1.70 to $2.98.50. And October bean meal gained $1.80 to $300.30. Finally, soybean oil Friday gained 55 cents on the August contract to $29.51. September bean oil gained 57 cents to $29.58. And October bean oil gained 58 cents to $29.70. Now to recap your close from Friday in the grain futures, corn finished 0.25 3/4 cents lower, soybeans finished 8 3/4 cents higher, Chicago wheat was a penny to a penny and a half higher, soybean meal finished $1.70 to $1.90 higher, and soybean oil finished 55 to 58 cents higher Friday. And now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for your cash grain reports from Friday.
This is Friday's imported grain pricing trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Friday afternoon. Purchase of soybean oil boosted soybean values as the trade waits for Monday's USDA supply and demand report. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down a penny at 372 to 408. Soybean bids are up at 9 cents at 805 to 828. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 1 to 2 cents at 395 to 419. Soybean bids are up 10 cents at 826 to 873. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 1 to 2 cents at 355 to 442. Soybean bids are up 11 to 13 cents at 820 to 859. And wheat bids are a penny higher at 460 to $5. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids are 5 to 9 cents higher at 844 to 892. Basis is unchanged to down 4 at 4800 option in November. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $290.50 to $303.50 a ton, up $1.70 a ton, with basis steady at 800 to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed at 423 to 438, with basis unchanged to up 3 at 13 over to 28 over the September. Illinois river barge flooding elevators coated producer corn bids down a penny at 373 to 420, with basis unchanged at 3700 to 10 over the September. Soybeans ended up 10 to 13 cents at 842 to 845, with basis up 1 to 4 at 50 under to 47 under the November. New crop wheat prices were up a penny at 450 to 468, with basis steady at 50 under to 39 under the September. East St. Louis barge loading terminals placed their producer corn bids mixed at 401 to 405. Their soybean prices were sharply higher at 871 to 872. Soft wheat closed up 1 to 2 cents at 495 to 505. Milo ended the day mixed at 454 to 455. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 369 to 408, soybeans at 822 to 862, and in the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 390 to 413, soybeans at 834 to 877. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 362 to 430. Soybeans at 821 to 860. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on Friday finished mixed but generally lower. Live cattle for August gained a dime to 108.05. October live cattle remained steady at 106.75. And December live cattle lost 17 cents to 111.45. August feeders lost 95 cents Friday to 138.90. September feeders lost $1.42 to 138.45, and October feeders were down $1.37 to 138.25. Lean hogs for August gained $1.67 Friday to $79.02, while October lean hogs lost 90 cents to $66.97. December lean hogs were also down 57 cents to $64.67. Now to recap, live cattle were anywhere from a dime higher to 17 cents lower. Feeder cattle were 95 to $1.42 lower. Lean hogs were $1.67 higher to 90 cents lower. Now we'll take you back to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Friday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 79 cents lower, in a range of $62 to $77, with the weighted average carcass price of $70.98. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were 2 to 3 higher, with good demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 3-grade sows under 400 pounds traded 33 to 36, 4 to 5 weighted 34 to 40, 5 to 6 weighted 36 to 44, and over 600 pounds, $37 to $48. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and guts country buying points were weak, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $44 to $51. Receipts for Illinois barrels and guts of total $22,490. In the direct cattle trade, in the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers and live bases trade at $111 to $116, and on address base at $179 to $183. Choice heifers and live bases trade at $114 to $116.50, and on address basis at $178 to $183. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 305 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $90.44, which is $1.75 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $216.37, which is 51 cents lower, while select carcasses are $193.81, which is $1.44 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 118,000 compared to 114,000 last week, 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 451,000 compared to 453,000 last week and 423,000 one year ago. A recap of Walnut Livestock Auction for Thursday, August 8th had total receipts 230 compared to last week. Slaughter steers sold $4 lower. Slaughter heifers were $1 lower. Slaughter dairy steers were 5 1/4 higher. And slaughter bulls were 450 higher. Choice steers average dressing at 110 to 117 and a quarter. Holstein steers from $90 to $97. Choice heifers at 112 to 116. Breaker cows average dressing at 68 to 73. Boner cows at $55. Lean cows at $51. And bulls from $75 to $89. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in Ag News for part two of your Monday morning Ag Show to start off this second full week of August, the USDA will be releasing its crop production report in about 5 hours from now at 11 a.m. Central Time. This report includes a resurvey of farmers to find out their up-to-date planted acreage numbers in the Midwestern Corn Belt states. Lance Honig, crop branch chief with the National Ag Statistics Service, recaps why the agency had to resurvey farmers to find out what they planted or didn't plant in 2019.
We went back and resurveyed in 14 states. Obviously, weather this spring, very unusual across a wide swath of states. Not only heavy rainfall, but extended rainfall really caused a lot of planting delays and in some cases didn't allow some farmers to get all the crops planted that they wanted. So when we did our survey work back in the early part of June, for our acreage report, there was more acres left to be planted than there typically would be at that time. So what we did was we actually went back in those 14 states, primarily for corn and soybeans, although we did touch a little bit of cotton and sorghum. We actually went back for our area-based survey, and we revisited every field that we had identified in those 14 states for the crops we selected that still had acres left to be planted at that time.
The National Ag Statistics Service went back into each of those empty fields in July to find out what had happened after their June survey. Honig says NAS typically has survey procedures in place to account for planting delays. The challenge this year was the total amount of planting delays in 2019.
What's different this year is really it's about magnitude. I mean, we're talking about a much larger area, talking about a lot longer period of challenge for some folks. But the bottom line is we do see a planting delay somewhere almost every year. So our procedures are already set up to handle this. You know, from that standpoint, we were prepared for this. It's just a little bigger scale than what we would normally see, and therefore it's got really a lot more attention than you would normally see. So when we're talking about either the original June area survey or the resurvey, we're doing the same thing both times. We don't just go to that field. We actually talk to the farmer who is operating that land. So absolutely, for corn in particular, we not only find out how many acres were planted, but we find out how many of those acres did they intend to harvest at that point for grain.
Not only does NAS have to account for planting delays, they also have to account for crop growth that could be a long way behind a normal development pace.
Well, you know, the later you are, the more challenging it is in any year. This year, as we look particularly this month, what we're doing is we're doing really a couple of things to try to evaluate yield. The first and really foremost thing that we do is we survey farmers and we ask the farmers, what do you expect your yield to be? And they're thinking about things like, here's where my crop's at, here's what it's faced up to this point. And so they're going to give us their best estimate of what they expect that yield to be. At the same time, we're also out there pulling down satellite information, looking at, you know, the crop from that perspective to try to determine what we think those yields are going to be. And so we're weaving that all together.
Finally, there are a couple things to keep in mind when it comes to a NAS crop production report.
The first is it's based on conditions as of the first of that month. So we're going to be basing it on what was going on August 1st. And then the second, which might be an even bigger point to remind folks of, is we assume normal weather for the remainder of the year. So obviously when you're late like this, you know, you have concerns if you're a producer about what if we get an early frost, what if. We're not making any adjustments on potential for what might happen out of the ordinary. So we're going to take the information that we get from the farmers. They tell us what they expect their yields to be. We're going to compare that with how that typically relates to final yields. We're going to look at the satellite information we have, and we're going to make a determination based on the conditions that we have August the 1st.
Again, Lance Honig of the National Ag Statistics Service, Crops Branch. It's hard for many in the Midwest to believe 2019 could turn into a drought year following the wet spring and delayed planting. However, the latest drought monitor shows parts of Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana on the brink of drought following the nation's wettest 12-month period ever. It's important to note that the Midwest region of the drought monitor is 84% drought-free, but that's down from 91% a week ago and 100% 3 months ago. Any classified drought in the Corn Belt adds additional stress to farmers and their crops, with the most fields planted late and slow to mature. A late harvest season is expected this year, with growing fears of frost damage. Meanwhile, there are classified drought areas in Oklahoma and Texas. The data shows 45% of Oklahoma is classified as a drought area, mainly central to western Oklahoma. Central and West Texas make up most of the drought area of that state, accounting for 46% of the land area. Moving on now into livestock news. The risk of African swine fever continues to increase. Pork Checkoff Senior Vice President of Science and Technology, Dr. David Pyburn, says this virus is expanding its presence worldwide.
Just this last week, we've seen a couple of more countries, namely Slovakia and Bulgaria, that have had new outbreaks. And really in Bulgaria, it sounds like it's running rampant in that country. We've seen additional outbreaks in China. We've seen additional outbreaks in Vietnam. So the risk does nothing but continue to increase.
Border security is essential to prevent the introduction of ASF into the United States.
The absolute number one risk for bringing this virus into the country is through the illegal importation of meat products into this country, whether that's commercial or by tourists carrying those meats into the country. So we've got to absolutely make sure that we are defending our borders, and that as we're entering into this country as tourists or visitors to this country, that we're declaring honestly so that CBP can do their job and help us to protect our industry.
For more information on ASF, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to pork.org or call 800-456-PORK. Moving on into more national news, it's clear that farmers are frustrated with the many forces beyond their control following a listening session in Minnesota. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue didn't receive a warm welcome during Minnesota's Farm Fest last week. Hosted by House Ag Committee Chairman and Minnesota Democrat Colin Peterson, Perdue got an earful from farmers questioning the Farm Bill programs and trade. Peterson says one thing was clear. Farmers don't want to get their revenue from the government. However, he says the federal government has a responsibility to make sure folks aren't left behind as a result of forces beyond their control. There are many forces farmers are struggling with right now, from low income, trade retaliation, adverse weather, and an increase in farm bankruptcies. 2019 will undoubtedly go down as one of the most stressful years to be a farmer. Peterson says it is still a lot of work to be done to help farmers, adding he will continue to do everything as possible to help, along with Ag Secretary Perdue. And the sentiment of not wanting to get revenue from the government is echoed loud and clear here in Mid-Illinois. Had a chance to speak with longtime farmer and livestock producer Tom Anderson of Butler, who puts 2019 in the same rankings of the drought of 2012 and the struggles of the 1980s. In the years that you've been farming, Tom, have you really seen a year as difficult as this year?
I really probably can't say so. There's been other degrees of difficulties. We've went through droughts, actually, as compared to the year of 2012 or 1983. So far this year looks like we have a better chance for a crop today, and granted that the crop is not made until we harvest it and put it in the bin, but we've been through a lot of adversity this year with the wet weather and the late season, but we don't always know what's best for us.
And again, that was Tom Anderson of Rural Butler. And as Tom said, sometimes we need a year to humble ourselves to remember that it's all up to Mother Nature and the weather. Moving on now into state ag news. Last week, the USDA approved Governor Pritzker's request that all 102 counties in Illinois be declared an ag disaster area. The move allows for farmers to qualify for emergency low-interest loans to help continue farming operation. Illinois Department of Agriculture Director John Sullivan says the decision by the USDA may help garner more attention to the problem.
Big picture is it's going to tell Congress, it's going to send a message to Congress that this isn't an isolated incident. You know, when you have all 102 counties, the entire state of Illinois, the number one soybean producer, the number two corn producer in the entire country being impacted by the way that we are, hopefully that's going to send a message to them that agriculture could use some additional help down the road.
Farmers who are interested in the federal assistance should check in with their local county FSA office. In other news from the USDA, there's been 7 counties in Illinois that have been authorized for emergency haying and grazing use of eligible CRP acreage outside of the primary nesting season. Emergency haying is permitted from now through the end of this month, and emergency grazing is permitted now through the end of September. Haying is restricted to no more than half of eligible CRP contracted acreage, and grazing shall leave 25% of each field or contiguous fields ungrazed, or you can graze 100% of a field, but not more than a 75% stocking rate. Producers can use the eligible CRP acreage under the emergency grazing provisions for their own livestock, or may grant another livestock producer use of the eligible CRP ground. CRP acreage is limited to acres located within an approved county, and there will be no CRP annual rental payment reduction for 2019 emergency haying and grazing authorizations. And of those 7 counties, one is in our local listening area, and that is Morgan County in the Jacksonville area. The other 6 are in northwestern Illinois and include Bureau, Fulton, Henry, Mercer, Rock Island, and Whiteside counties. And if any producers in Morgan County are interested in this emergency haying and grazing use of CRP ground, you can contact the Morgan County FSA office at 217-243-1535. Moving on now into local ag news, the U of I Extension will be hosting a tree selection and care workshop to be held at the Montgomery County Extension Office in Hillsboro. You can join U of I Extension horticulture educator Andrew Holsinger as he presents on the topics of tree care, selection, planting, and more. This program will take place tomorrow, Tuesday, from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. The program is free and open to the public, but pre-registration is suggested by visiting their website, go.illinois.edu/CJMM, or by calling the office in Hillsboro at 532-3941. Registration is asked to be done by today. And finally, a quick reminder for you. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is Ag Day at the Illinois State Fair. And we'll be having some reports from tomorrow's Ag Day on future farm reports. So stay tuned to the morning and afternoon ag shows. And remember, if you have any ag news you'd like to have aired here on WSMI, you can do that by emailing it to me, mattwsmi@wsmiradio.com. So for this Monday morning, August 12th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.
Thank you very much, Gabe. And part two of the Morning Ag Show brought to you by C&B Bank and Trust with 19 locations to serve you, and by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. Well, we are getting some big rain totals into our studios this morning. WSMI weather watcher Chris Cook of Greenville, 6 inches of rain. The Lang family of Coffeen, 4 inches and 8 tenths of rainfall this morning. We had 1.2 inches of rain outside of our studios here between Litchfield and Hillsboro, and 3/4 of an inch reported by Robin Schroeder of Jerseyville. We have a big system sitting right now across the WSMI listening area. It's not getting up to the Springfield way yet. It's a little pocket of rain right between Jacksonville and Morrisonville. Most of the rain, though, is Litchfield, Hillsboro south. There is heavier rain down that way at this hour. And we're also going to have a heat advisory in effect until 9 o'clock this evening. The heat index could get up to 110 today. And we just got Kyle Schmedeke of Irving's report, 2.3 inches of rain here this morning. So 2.3 inches of rain in Irving, 4.8 inches of rain in Coffeen, 6 inches of rain in Greenville, and 1.2 inches of rain here between Litchfield and Hillsboro outside of our WSMI studios. And it's not over yet.